Case number 07-1175, Louisiana Public Service Commission Petitioner versus Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Mr. Fontham for the petitioner, Ms. Banta for the respondent, and Mr. Anderson for the intervener.
Good morning.
Good morning, and may it please the court. My name is Michael Fontham. I represent the petitioner, the Louisiana Public Service Commission. I will argue two issues. The first, the FERC's approval of Entergy's decision to sell cheap energy out of EAI baseload capacity owned by Entergy Arkansas, off system to third parties. While that same capacity was being included for capability equalization in the system agreement, is an error of law, a violation of the terms of the contract, and its purpose as stated by this court.
Didn't you say in your reply brief that those two issues were completely separate?
Your Honor, pardon, I didn't understand the
question. Didn't you say in your reply brief that those two issues were totally separate?
I said that the...
That is that
yes,
the...
Yes,
well, so now you're connecting them.
No, I'm the allocation issue, the resource allocation issue, in other words, taking the resources and permanently allocating them to a particular company where the energy would stay on the system regardless. That is separate from the off-system sales issue. The off-system sales issue is not separate from the fact that the capacity is system capacity. They're taking system capacity and they're selling the energy off-system for their own account, in order words, to make a profit, while it's part of the system capacity and being equalized. And that is separate from the allocation issue, but not from the fact that it's system capacity. The second issue that I will argue relates to the allocation, and that is when Entergy permanently allocated very scarce baseload resources in order to settle a case to Entergy New Orleans, Inc., taking about 40% of the baseload resources in allocating them to a company that's 5% of the system in order to, in their own words, solve that problem on a once-and-done basis and by transferring costs to the other companies, that's arbitrary and capricious to approve that. With regard to the off-system sales issue, this case did begin as a fight about allocation, but during the course of this case, Entergy revealed in a data response that it had made a decision in 2001 that would allow Entergy Arkansas, Inc., but it's really Entergy, would allow Entergy to make off-system sales to third parties out of excess capacity located in Arkansas. This excess capacity has a very low running cost, a cost of about $8 a megawatt hour, and the market out there would pay $30, $40 a megawatt hour. But at the same time, it's part of the capacity that the courts, the FERC, and Entergy have always declared must be supported by the system's ratepayers and always has been supported by the system's ratepayers and during the time in question was included in the capability equalization formula and supported by the system's ratepayers. The capability equalization pays you for having capability available. It's a fixed charge. The energy provisions govern who gets the energy that comes out of that capacity. Entergy revealed, and if you wanted to break down what's there in Appendix 466 to 68, you would see that there were a series of monthly transactions, month after month after month after month after month. Cargill, for instance, in 2003, every month of the year, bought energy out of this capacity. Westar, 11 out of 12 months, bought energy out of this capacity. Duke, 7 months in a row, bought energy out of this capacity up until the time of the PPA, purchase power agreement allocation to New Orleans. So these sales went on even after the allocation.
But aren't I right? Could you just... the These short-term sales you're talking about, these were not an issue in the administrative proceedings, right?
Yes, they were, Your Honor. They weren't an issue initially.
Of course they weren't.
They became an issue.
Well, but can I just finish asking?
Yes, sure, sure.
Okay. All right. The purpose of the FERC proceedings brought by Entergy, right, was to focus on these long-term allocations.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
Okay. Okay. The hearing order doesn't mention anything about the short-term sales.
That's correct. It wasn't even known at that time.
Correct. The commission doesn't say anything about it in its summary of issues it's even considering, correct?
I don't know about the summary. I know about what they're holding on it.
But I'm just telling you that the commission at the beginning of its decision, when it's summarizing what the ALJ did and saying what it will do, never mentions this.
Well, it says it's going to summarily affirm all the other decisions of the ALJ.
It never mentions it, and even when it mentions miscellaneous issues, it doesn't mention this.
In the summary?
Yeah.
Yes, Your Honor, that may be true. I don't deny it.
I just read it.
Okay.
Okay. So it never mentions it, all right? It surfaces in it. So what is the action that FERC has taken with? I mean, I know it said something about short-term sales.
The right? FERC has said.
But let me finish my question.
Yes, sir.
It said something about short-term sales, but that's not. It hasn't ordered any remedy one way or the other about it.
That's true.
It's a principle stated in the opinion that may or may not affect future actions about short-term sales, right?
No, Your Honor, there was no remedy. It authorizes Entergy to make off-system sales. It says it's okay to do this. They kept doing it after the PPA allocation.
That sentence was not critical to...
That sentence was critical to us.
But it wasn't critical to the decision that FERC had to make with respect to...
Well, they didn't have to make it. I'll agree with that.
Okay,
they could have said we don't have to make it. But, Your Honor, if they made a decision...
Look, just help me. I'm trying to figure out the case. It would be really helpful if you helped me understand it.
Okay.
You just agreed with me that the language in the FERC decision about short-term sales was not critical to its decision in the Entergy petition, correct?
I did so in my brief, too.
Right, exactly. So what you have here, and tell me why this is wrong, what it looks to me like what you have here is a statement in a FERC decision that may or may not be right, that may have precedential effect in future cases, but it isn't something you can challenge here.
No, Your Honor, I think I can challenge it here because no one's questioned my standing to challenge this.
We have lots of precedent that say all you can challenge are FERC rulings. You can't challenge statements of the law that you disagree with.
This is a statement of contract interpretation. That's what they claim it is, and they claim it applies to me, and they are allowing Entergy to sell off system energy from capacity that hurts Louisiana.
The administrative law judge said you should bring that in a different proceeding.
No, Your Honor, what he said was you should have brought it up when you didn't know about it.
No, he said you should bring it in a different proceeding.
Well, Your Honor, I think he said it was somehow was trying to suggest that we waited too long. I don't think he was saying we should bring it up in a different proceeding because he ruled on it too. If he thought it was in a different proceeding, why would he issue a ruling on it? If the FERC thought it was in a different proceeding, why would it issue a ruling on it? Why? To authorize Entergy to take system capacity and make a buck.
How did that? Well, you've already answered the question. It was not critical, you agreed.
I agree with that. Okay. I mean, I think it was unnecessary, but it was a litigated issue. We litigated it for weeks. And there were arguments back and forth on whether it was a violation or not a violation for them to sell that energy off system. And we argued that it was a violation to sell it off system. It violated the right of first refusal, and it violated the allocation of energy provisions in the system agreement. And the FERC decided to rule on it and ruled it wasn't, which means that right now, this very minute, they can be doing this. And they can rely on the FERC decision, and if I bring a case, the FERC's going to say, we already decided that. That's the way it works over there. So
this was only one of multiple reasons FERC rejected.
Yes, sir.
But if we agreed with your interpretation on this issue, it wouldn't change FERC's decision.
On the allocation. on the allocation. But it does change FERC's decision that you can do this. And it does.
What you're
it
upset
does,
with, and I think what Judge Tatel is getting at, is essentially a dicta that's going to harm you in the future.
It harms me right now. It harmed me after the PPA allocation. Month after month after month, they made sales. And when you have to understand this, this is supposed to be capacity available to the system. This court has said that. And the U.S. Supreme Court has said that. And the FERC has said it, and Energy has said it. They take the cheapest stuff, the $8 stuff, and because the running cost there is low, they can make a good deal, a big profit, by selling it to somebody else. When they do that, it's taken out of the stack. The stack falls down. You have to fill in up here. In other words, the most expensive thing they can find takes the place of the cheapest system energy. So everybody else has to pay the highest marginal cost to replace what they decided to sell off system to make a buck. The FERC has now said that's okay if you structure it in, you know, so-called short-term transactions that happen month after month after month after month after month. And this contract interpretation that they've given, a long-term goal to have baseload capacity. And then we have a sentence that says it's unconditional. It says anybody with any excess capacity that wants to sell it off system has to offer a right of first refusal. Well, the modifier of the long-term goal, if that's a modifier, then the right of first refusal would only apply to baseload capacity. Right. They've never argued that. And it says it should be offered under MSS4, which the FERC has said is for short-term sales.
All right, counsel, we've taken up all this time on your first issue and you haven't gotten to the second. Why don't we hear from the agency and intervener, and then we'll give you some time to come back.
Okay.
Including on the allocation issue.
Okay. That's good. Thank you.
Good morning. Carol Banta for the commission.
Do you agree that this language about short-term, about the whether this applies to short-term sales is dictum and not essential to FERC's decision?
Absolutely.
Okay, and do you also agree that if this issue is litigated in the future, this language is not binding on FERC?
Right. The commission may well choose the same interpretation,
but it may not.
We won't say it's a collateral.
It's not. In other words, it won't be barred in a future case.
Because it wasn't actually litigated.
Okay.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
It was litigated.
Hmm?
Litigated. That's the problem.
I'm sorry. I should say that it wasn't at all. It has no effect on the outcome.
It's not part of the holding.
Right. I mean, when the ALJ discussed it, I think said, I don't even have to go here, but here's what I would say.
I mean, it's like we look at Supreme Court dictum and we say it's dictum, but we give it very serious deference, I guess is the word.
Sure.
And
sure.
So if the petitioner files, a complaint?
Mm-hmm.
With the agency objecting to these off-system sales, FERC isn't going to come back and say, you're too late?
I'm not sure how it would work out. I know the commission said here you should have filed a complaint.
Yeah.
The commission's point was, this is not this proceeding. It has nothing to do with this proceeding.
But the implication of the ALJ's statement was they should have done something earlier.
Right. But actual timing issues, I don't know. But I do know that the ALJ and the commission both said this has nothing to do with the long-term power purchase agreements that we're actually dealing with here. And as Judge Kavanaugh pointed out, even if you completely agreed with the petitioner, it has no effect on this case because the ALJ said that his determinations that Section 305 doesn't create a right of first refusal on these long-term PPAs was dispositive, and I think the petitioner has even conceded that's not the question on appeal.
Right.
On the allocation issue, as the petitioner noted, the commission summarily affirmed paragraph 5 of the affirming order. The ALJ had gone through an extensive analysis, so to the extent the petitioner is arguing that the commission didn't do some sort of analysis, the commission could have ended with paragraph 5. We summarily affirmed for the reasons set forth in the ALJ's opinion. That's a holding that this court has made a number of times. So what discussion the commission did have in the affirming order on the exceptions and on the rehearing request were on some additional points that I wanted to clarify, but that wasn't the whole of the agency's reasoning in this case. Does the court have any questions? Because I could talk about allocation, but I don't think that's necessary.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hear from intervener.
May it please the court, I am Wayne Anderson representing Energy Services and intervener in the proceeding. I will obviously try to be brief. I should, however, like to state a few of the facts that surround the sales that were being made and that form the predicate for so much of the appeal, notwithstanding whether it really was an adjudicated issue before the FERC. First, with respect to the allegation by my opponent's counsel that this decision actually authorizes such sales to take place, it may do so, but it is not the authority by which the sales would occur. At the appendix at page 400, there's section 4.05 of the system agreement, which makes it very plain that individual operating companies may engage in these types of transactions. It actually is specific to that point. And when I was a young lawyer many decades ago, Louisiana Power and Light Company typically made sales in the wholesale market using system resources and kept the revenues for the benefit of its customers. Entergy Arkansas has made such sales for as long as I've been representing the system, which is the early 1970s. When Entergy acquired the Gulf States system, which became Entergy Gulf States, Entergy Gulf States was making sales, which were memorialized or at least discussed in the FERC orders relating thereto. So these kinds of sales are not particularly amazing or should not be particularly surprising to anyone. However, the allegation that the sales that were made hurt Louisiana, I believe, is something I would like to correct. That's just totally false and not supported by the record in the case. The sales were being made at a market price of $32 and change per megawatt hour. And although Mr. Fontham is correct that the fuel cost for those sales may have been approximately $8, the price at which Louisiana would have had to buy the energy is dictated by MSS-4. If the court will look at Section 3.05, it says that if this were a 3.05 situation, the sale would occur at MSS-4, and the MSS-4 price, which had been litigated ad nauseum in the bandwidth case and which also had been brought up in this case that we're appealing, the MSS-4 price for these resources was $35 and change, so that if Louisiana had purchased this output, it would have been paying about 110% of market price. So this really was not anything that harmed anyone, but even if it were something that had harmed someone, it would have had to have been litigated and adjudicated by the FERC in order for the issue to presently be before this court. So that is really what's happening with the Section 305 alleged sales. The record makes it clear that the energy and the resources became available to the system at a time that it was trying to figure out how to address the deficiency, the disparity between system average costs and the costs of some of the high-cost companies. And rather than make a
I have a question for you. Let's go back to what you just said about the short sale, the short-term sales. The Louisiana Commission's post-hearing brief seems to suggest that there should be damages for these short-term sales, contract damages. Do you know what I'm referring to?
Yes, I do. I believe I do. You're
right. Yeah. It's at 2246. Why doesn't that put the issue squarely before the commission, requiring the commission to decide that?
I believe it's because at the time that the case was being litigated, no claim for damages was actually articulated.
So your point is it's too late in the rehearing brief to raise a claim for damages?
I think it's too late to raise the claim. I mean, had a claim been raised, we would have raised a number of defenses, not the least of which was that although Louisiana says it would have preferred $8 per megawatt energy, it couldn't have gotten that because if this were a 305 situation, it would have had to pay the MSS for price, which was not $8, but $35.46. So that's one element of damage. Another element of damage is they say, look, we had to pay the MSS-1 reserve equalization because these resources were included as an Arkansas load. But in fact, had Arkansas made the sales and not included the load in the Arkansas load shape, the short companies, such as Entergy Gulf States and Entergy New Orleans and Entergy Louisiana, would have had to make larger MSS-1 payments to Entergy Arkansas. By including the load, it actually reduced the cost burden of MSS-1 on those other companies. Is that responsive, Judge Tatel?
I think so, yeah.
Anything further?
Nothing further except that we'd ask that the decisions, the opinions of the FERC be affirmed in this matter and the appeal dismissed. Thank you.
Counsel for FERC, could you step forward? We have one further question.
I just wanted to ask you the same question I asked counsel for the intervener about this reference in the post-hearing brief about seeming to ask for damages here.
And you said that was on 246?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think that what they were asking for, what Louisiana Commission was asking for, was that Entergy Gulf States and Entergy Louisiana would be entitled to lay claim to this power. And when they talk about damages, they're talking about refunds. They're saying we should have been able to take that power for these two. And I think that the ALJ did address that because what the Louisiana Commission seemed to be getting at was the fact that this power had been sold off system at some point previously should allow them to lay claim to this power now. Uh-huh. And the ALJ said the previous sales have no bearing, no nexus to these current power purchase agreements that are before me. And that issue was affirmed and not appealed. So I read this to be, we should be able to get that power because you sold it off the system before. Mm-hmm. To the extent that they're talking about other refunds, I guess the commission didn't address it, so I don't know that I have more of an answer for you.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Counsel for petitioner.
Thank you. I do want to address the resource allocation, but I'd like to move to what Judge Tatel asked about quickly first.
Let me say, if you want to raise anything on your allocation issue, I think you ought to do it.
Now?
Unless you want to rely strictly on your brief.
No, I don't want to rely strictly on my brief, but could I just answer that question?
All right.
Your Honor, I think the way we understood it, issues frequently arise in FERC proceedings that lead to remedies that weren't there when the case first started. And we thought that what arose was a clear contract violation and a violation of the intent and purpose of the agreement that FERC should so hold and then have a proceeding for a remedy. My reading of this, I'm very surprised to hear the suggestion from the other side that it's dicta or that the FERC won't say that it is bound by its prior order, because I think it will say that. And these sales went on beyond the permanent allocations in this case.
Well, but if we write in an opinion that FERC counsel represented to us here in oral argument that they would not take that position,
that
gives you a great deal of protection.
That would do that. Yes, sir.
Yes, of course it would.
Okay, so with regard to the allocation issue, our complaint is this. You know, they talk about a great big analysis that was supposedly done by the initial decision. There is no analysis of Entergy's resource allocation in the initial decision. That suggests that the resource allocation will bring the companies closer to rough equalization. Rough equalization is not full equalization. The FERC has made it clear, and now this court has as well, we don't want full equalization. We want rough equalization, plus or minus 11. Entergy moved Entergy New Orleans in order to achieve a settlement beyond full equalization to negative. They were a very high-cost company. They got more baseload capacity than they needed under Entergy's own studies in order for Entergy to cut a deal with ENO to get them out of the rough equalization case, which happened. When they went to CNO, this is all in the record, when they went to the CNO, the city advisors, and said, you need to take this deal, They showed the city's advisors that by allocating these resources to New Orleans, Energy New Orleans, it would take the very inefficient Michoud generating cost, which is a local generator, a gas generator in the city of New Orleans that has to run for area support. It serves New Orleans because it's a constrained area. It's a load pocket, and it can't always get enough transmission, electricity through in transmission, so it has to keep running. Well, so it's running for New Orleans, but by the magic of the pencil, they can say, well, New Orleans is really being served by these resources in Arkansas or in western Louisiana. And therefore, Michoud becomes excess, and it's still running. They have to run it. Somebody has to pay for it, and that's Energy Gulf States. They knew that was going to happen. They knew it. They demonstrated it. They gave them a study that showed it. And they knew that they were going to, in their own words, they were going to move Energy New Orleans to once and done. Absolutely solve their problem. We'll work on the other company's problems in the future. They moved hundreds of millions of dollars from Energy New Orleans to Energy Gulf States. They drove Energy Gulf States costs up. They moved Energy New Orleans below average. Now, initial decision complained about the mathematics of my claim that the allocation caused the company to switch positions. And I will agree that I can't prove that every percentage point is due to this allocation. I can't do that. There is a difference in the size of the companies. But we did prove, nobody denies, they transferred scores of millions of dollars many times in each month from New Orleans to Gulf States in order to solve their litigation problem. And then the initial decision looks at it and the FERC looks at it and really with no analysis says, well, this is consistent with the goal of achieving rough equalization. Well, get them to 11. That's what the FERC says is rough equalization. And the FERC says cost transfers are a bad thing and something you wouldn't want to do to go beyond 11. It's one of the most important things. Transferring costs through the system agreement is terrible if it's to get them below 11. We won't even do that, the FERC says, and this court affirmed it. But Energy is allowed to move them below zero, below average. Cut a deal. A permanent allocation. This allocation went into effect in 2003. The bandwidth the FERC delayed until 2007, where there is some amelioration of this impact. And it's supposed to go away in 2013 because EAI is withdrawing. Energy says it's great for them to withdraw. We're going to try to get them out. No more bandwidth. So, you know, a permanent allocation, basically one of the resources was in a Gulf States resource. They took a Gulf States resource, gave it to New Orleans. That had the effect of moving the New Orleans cost to Gulf States, and this will last forever. Forever. Now, we did a study. We did a study using Energy's ProMod. That's their resource planning tool. That's the study that they used all year long in determining that everybody should get a proportionate allocation of the baseload resources before they switched their strategy a month before they filed their testimony in the system agreement case and cut the deal. That study, they looked at the production cost equalization impacts, and they said they're okay if everybody gets a proportionate allocation. We did a study of a proportionate allocation that we proposed, and our study showed it did harm Gulf States a little bit, but it moved Energy New Orleans down to about 3% instead of moving it below average, and it didn't hurt the other companies using the assumptions of gas prices according to the NYMEX market. And, you know, the judge trashed our study. Yes, he did trash our study, but he never made any analytical finding that, oh, yeah, gee whiz, this is consistent with rough equalization and helping all the companies get to rough equalization because, and you look for because.
Well, the commission doesn't have to trash your study. It merely has to say that, sure, that's reasonable as well, but there's another reasonable way to do it.
Well, but, Your Honor, they did the first part, and they didn't do what you're suggesting that they have to do. That's my problem with it, and it can't be done. Energy testified we were trying to solve ENO's problem once and done, once and for all. Make them happy forever. Give them more baseload capacity than we say they need.
And so your position is FERC was not in a position to consider future plans for allocation?
Your Honor,
confirming the current 2003 orders?
Your Honor, the only baseload resources, reasonably cheap baseload resources that were on the table were the 03, which was about 600 megawatts, and then there were 300 additional in future years that they were going to possibly allocate if Arkansas, the APSC, approved the allocation. It was, you know, it was a maybe. It was in the plan, but it was nothing but a maybe. And in the system agreement case, the ALJ ruled, well, that's just speculation whether any of that's going to happen. But you're talking about the package. Any other baseload resource, you're going to have to build it, and it'll be a gazillion dollars.
My point is your position appears to be that the allocations could not be approved unless there was rough equalization that benefited and harmed all of the companies in
Your Honor,
proportionate
what, I guess,
way, that everything had to be solved once, and you couldn't have adjustments in the future.
Well, yes, Your Honor, I am saying that. I'm saying that rather than saying, well, it's clearly preferential to New Orleans and clearly very prejudicial to Gulf states, but it might get solved in the future, that the FERC has to say, we'll allocate this tranche to be fair to everybody, we'll allocate the next set to be fair to everybody if it comes along, and we'll allocate the next set to be fair to everybody. In the years from 2003 forward, while we're all waiting for something good to happen in the future, Energy Gulf States absorbed hundreds of millions of dollars.
All right. I think we have your argument, John.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you.
We'll take the case under advisement.